Welcome to this episode of Hustle and Pro. I'm your host, Kelly Walker. We're here in Allen before a Dallas Sidekicks game, and we're sitting down with midfielder Jamie Lovegrove. We're going to talk about his time here with the Sidekicks and his move from playing pro in Europe to here in the U.S. and a few other things. And so enjoy this episode with Jamie Lovegrove. Welcome to this episode of Hustle and Pro. I'm your host, Kelly Walker, and we have Jamie Lovegrove with us. Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good. Nice to meet you for the first time, and thanks for your time.
Of course.
I know you got a game to play, so
yes.
I'm excited to be here pre-match, and I'll stay and watch the game.
Have you been to one before?
Cheer you on. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice.
Yep, good. We're a soccer family.
There we go.
So, yes, definitely been to one before.
Love
so,
it.
As far as your time here, is this your eighth season?
Yeah, eighth season with the Sidekicks. I think it's my 10th overall.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, hope you're honored because this is our fifth birthday week of this podcast.
Happy birthday.
So I like to get cool guests for my big birthday episode. So 5 years doing this, it's great.
Yeah.
So I think you've played in 100 plus-ish games.
Yeah.
Do you know how many goals you've scored?
It's really funny you say that, actually.
I'm just going to say
okay, it's really funny you say that, actually, because I thought, so for the Dallas Sidekicks this previous weekend, I thought I scored my 150th for the club.
Oh, okay.
Turns out it was my 149th.
So oh, okay.
Hopefully tonight I get 150.
Okay.
That's kind of be a big deal for me personally. Overall stats indoor only, think I'm about 173, I think, goals scored career wise. So,
nice.
But no, I'm 149, hopefully getting 150 tonight.
I mean, 150-ish, over 100 games, that's great.
It's pretty,
I mean,
yeah, it's pretty good.
That's a lot of action and activity out here on the
field.
So you mentioned indoor. I was going to bring this up, but I'll go ahead and jump into it. Did you play indoor before you moved to the U.S.?
No, I didn't.
Is it even a thing where you
No. We play in light, well, obviously not lightning, but rain, shine.
All anything, outdoor.
All outdoors. Yeah. Everything's
and
outdoor.
And that's Crawley?
Crawley, England, yeah.
I'm
which is South England.
Crawley?
So Gatwick Airport is the closest airport to it, but
okay.
Yeah, Crawley.
Okay.
But futsal now is starting to get into schools back home and stuff like that. But when I first came here, I had never, ever heard of indoor in my life.
Yeah. That's funny.
It's funny how it turns out to be like that, right?
I mean, it's like it's different, but it's the same.
Yeah.
And you mentioned futsal. I was going to ask you have you played futsal?
No.
So when you talk about the outdoor versus the indoor, like what are some of the different skills that you maybe had to, were you surprised that you needed to brush up on or learn? Or is it really just the same thing?
I think the biggest thing in indoor is that you can use the boards. So sometimes when you go into your 1v1 matchups, you're able to literally use the board as a player.
Yeah.
So there's a give and go around the player, stuff
pass.
Like that, your own pass, the biggest thing that I learned real quick, and I was very lucky to play with a lot of veterans in my rookie season, was your subbing. You know, how long you're on the field and how long you're not on the field. And in this game in particular, you can find yourself on the field for too long. And then when you hit your next shift, you are really heavy-legged, you're gassed, and it's stuff like that.
There's like a point of...
Yeah, it's literally... So we try to do about a minute to a minute and a half.
Okay.
And then your line partner goes in for a minute and a half. Sometimes you will run threes, so it'd be minute and a half, and then you're almost resting for close to 3 minutes, but then you're back in. I love playing in lines of two because it's quicker. You know, you get your subs in and out. I've got a good rookie partner this year in Colin O'Keefe. He does a lot of my defensive work for me, which is nice, so I just play offense, which is great.
Yeah, you earned that point.
My age, but no, it's boards was one of the biggest ones, and substitutions and your line relationships, right? If I don't have a good relationship with you and I go in for a minute and a half and you do 15 seconds and I go back in for another, it's going to off balance the group and stuff
like that. And disjointed, like strategy wise.
Exactly.
Right? You both have to be in sync of
what
your positioning and like what you're doing out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that it's not all over
the
place.
Screw everything up.
That's interesting though, the quick spurts, that probably was a conditioning adjustment too then.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when you look at the outdoor game, you're clocking in at about 8 to 10 miles over 90 minutes. When you're doing strictly indoor, you're close to about 3 or 4 miles, but they're not 3 or 4 miles at a constant speed. It's sprinting, it's resting, it's sprinting,
bursts.
It's recovering, and it's it's like, I can't remember the word, it's not interval, it's like interval training, basically, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're sprinting for a minute,
full
you rest.
And then rest.
So it's really...
Instead of like the moderate.
Yes, just going off at a certain speed and staying with that all the way, you're literally sprinting to standing still to back into sprinting again. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed it, for
I
sure.
I love that, yeah. I want to ask you about your playing experience with Gordon Jago,
yeah,
and Tattoo, some iconic like Dallas players around here.
Yeah, so Gordon, obviously, he grew up in England too. He really changed the game for everybody at home and come here and is a massive, massive member of the Dallas Psychics community. And I don't think you can ever speak about the organization without mentioning him. We've had some good conversations. When I started, he pulled me to the side and basically told me to calm down because I was very erratic with my first season and stuff like that. And the second person you mentioned was Tattoo, and I wouldn't be here without that guy. I'm very, very thankful for him. There was a period of time in my rookie season where he really put his arm around me and showed me what it was like to be a Dallas Psychic. And again, if you're going to learn from anybody, you're going to learn from one of the legends. And he still to this day, we have a very good relationship. Obviously, he is on the other side of town with a different team at the moment. And I, you know, I would love to play for him again at some point. Hopefully, it's back here with the Psychics, because I think that it'll be a very sentimental moment for him to finish his career where he started it almost. So I'm hopeful that happens, because I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. So I would love to play for him again. But no, I owe all of my career mainly to him.
That's a tough part of being in a market like this where you get close and play with and play for people, and then you have to face them also. And it gets tricky.
It's hard. It's not easy. But I kind of have an attitude about it where, you know, I play for this organization and I give everything to this organization in those moments. And unfortunately, he's not someone that I'm really close to until the game starts or till the game's over.
Right.
You know, before the game, we're really close. You know, he's very complimentary on how he feels about me too. So, and then after the game, obviously, we see each other, give each other a big hug. And and it's hard. But obviously, when you come to the games, I'm here with the Dallas Psychics.
Right.
And this is my priority. So.
Right. Going back a little bit, the Psychics were established in 1984. We're here in Allen. I don't know if you guys can see behind us, but the field is down there. There's some dance practices going on, I think.
Get yourself down there.
I know, right? And so it's the Credit Union of Texas Event Center, is the name of it. And you play in the Major Arena Soccer League.
Yeah.
So there's some cool like leadership and ownership news, you know, over the last several years with Mavs star Eddie Nahara joining your guys' family and Hector Rodriguez, which is bringing eSports in with the founder of Optic. So have those things changed anything here with like the vibe, the culture? You know, did they bring, what kind of energy did they bring?
Yeah, I definitely think it's created something positive, obviously, to have an owner that's been involved in a sport, regardless of which one it is.
Yeah.
You know, he knows potentially how to treat players, how to make players feel maybe a little bit more welcomed and stuff like that. I've met him a couple of times in the office. He's obviously huge, but he swallowed me up in a bro hug. But no, he's been great. Hector, I met Hector a few years ago, and since he's been in, he's been trying to get his hands on the group and trying to do what he can. And I think, you know, the esports environment is so huge at the moment. It's taken off. So to have someone like him and Eddie, and obviously all the other owners that are still here too, you know, that have kept the organization going, I just kind of hope it stays the same way. And you know, our goal is to be better than what the season has given us. Obviously, this year hasn't been so kind to us in results-wise, and where we find ourselves. We want to be in the playoffs. We want to bring a championship back to Dallas. So with a little bit of luck, those guys can kind of get their looks in this year and kind of improve it for years to come. You know, because I definitely don't want this organization to go away.
Right. And those rough seasons, you know, sometimes you just have to be patient and let it breathe and figure it out.
There's multiple reasons why it can be rough, right? You know, we've obviously had a new head coach in the last two seasons, each one. Coach Ricardinho was here last year. Coach Ed Puskerich is here at the moment. And hopefully, you know, he gets his hands on the group, and we're learning new things every week. And, you know, I don't think we've ever been out of games, you know, unless, and obviously the Monterey game, I think they were a lot better than us. But some of the games we've been in, we've been really close. It's just been here or there, something's happened. And you know, we've got a bunch of young guys in the locker room, and hopefully they can learn, and that's where we as veterans have to step up and kind of give them an arm around them and kind of let them know which direction they should be going, you know.
So saying that, with the veteran leadership, and you mentioned some of the coaches, and I know that is also you coach too, right? So how long have you been coaching?
I've been with FC Dallas now for about 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would think it's a natural progression for you, if you're not on the field as a player, that you're going to be coaching.
Yes.
I mean, in a different fashion maybe than you do now, but tell me about who you coach now and why.
So I have FC Dallas ECNL girls team. I'm part of the ECNL staff, which I'm very lucky to have that that position as well, going side by side with this. They do a very good job of supporting me. I have the 2010 girls, and then we have 07 RL and 2011 RL. So we're only on the girls' side. But yes, no, going back to your question about what I'm like on the field or off the field, I'm very, very vocal with my teammates sometimes, probably not the nicest, but that's the era I was brought up in. You know, again, go back to tattoo, you know, sometimes there was definitely situations that were heated, and I still carry that all the way through just because I want to win, and that's the only way I know. Obviously a little bit different to 2011 and 2010
right.
girls.
What's your style with them?
I know a lot, and I big myself up on learning a lot about the sport, so over the years I've...
That's why you're there for that.
Drastically change, you know, and not, we call it the word joysticking, where I'm not, you know, out there telling them what to do, how to do it, when to do it, kind of letting them be more freer. And that's changed over the years that I've been with FC Dallas. I've got incredible coaching staff that works with me as well, and they're sometimes like tornado, and that means I'm getting a little bit like too far, and then I have to rein it back down in a little bit. But yeah, no, I mean, I just try to share all my experiences and what I know, because again, these girls could be next US women's national team players and stuff like that. So I definitely have two people. There's Sidekicks Jamie, and then obviously there's FC Dallas Jamie.
Do you feel that being around, you said 2010s, 11s, and
07 RL? Yeah.
Okay, so that's a range.
High school.
Yeah. Well, I have that range of children in my house.
Yeah.
I have a 06 and a 10.
Yeah.
The 06 is a girl.
Yeah.
Done playing soccer, but the 10 is a boy.
Yeah.
And we've been in the FC Dallas system before also. And so, but do you think having that experience coaching that level of girls has changed the way you see like the U.S. women's national team and appreciation for that level?
Oh, definitely. And I think, you know, women's, I'm a dad of four girls as well. So
oh,
I have
girls.
All girls in my house. Yeah. Ooh. So hopefully one of them, you know, can take up it if that's what they decide to do either way. But, you know, it's been more so since the last few years, especially in England as well as here. Women's soccer has taken off, and it's really incredible to be a part of it, to see, you know, we've got some special talents inside of our club, just like everybody else. And it's, you know, it's becoming a big, big deal for these girls. And I think that it's only going to get better. I think that if there's ever a point of time where Dallas as a community can have a women's team, I think that would be sensational. I really, really do think it'd be great.
Me too. I'm actually surprised that it isn't
doesn't happen.
Happened yet. Hasn't
Come
happened yet.
Come on, Hunt
yet.
Family, get
I know,
out of it.
I know, right? I mean, it just... It's such a natural market for it. I'm sure it's in the pipeline. It's probably been discussed a million times.
Yeah.
But I know like when Abby Wambach got inducted into the National Soccer Hall of Fame in Frisco, that's what I asked her. You know, like, what do you say to the girl? All these thousands of little girls around here playing soccer, and there's just so much opportunity here. And they can now, especially now, see themselves with those girls on the field, like with Jaden Shaw.
Right, and that's exactly the person I was just going to mention.
It's like such a connection.
I was privileged enough to even work with Jaden
really?
A few years back.
Oh,
yeah,
cool,
and she's an incredible, incredible kid. Like, someone who literally eats, sleeps, and dreams this sport. And now you've got someone that grew up in Frisco, played at FC Dallas, played at Sola, and now is taking off. I mean, was she like the best player in the Gold Cup here recently?
I would say.
Yeah,
sure.
I think. Do you think she's got a little trophy too as well? And they won it, obviously. So now our connection towards that is our younger girls and inside of the clubs and everyone in the area now is, I want to be Jaden Shaw. And that's incredible. It really is.
Right. It's great. I love it as a role model for the girls you're coaching and your girls also.
Yeah.
So your path, I wanted to start with this originally, but we just jumped in and started talking. So I just kind of want to circle back with your path. I talked to a lot of, I mentioned to you earlier, I work with FC Dallas a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe 12 of their players over the years, but a lot of homegrowns, because I like that part of it. Like when Edwin Cerillo and Paxton, like talking to them early on. Mm-hmm. And kind of watching them go along, and Tesho and those guys, and seeing their path. Everybody's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, then you have like the Brandon Cervanias who go college, come back. Like, there's such a different path for everybody. And yours is different than a lot, because like,
you know, a lot of people that I talk to, it's like, I remember sitting across from Reggie Cannon and it's like, all I want to do is get to Europe and play soccer, you know, and then like, it's flipped for
reverse.
You did the reverse. So, I mean, if you want to talk just for a second about your journey from, like, I understand that your brother was here and so you kind of came here, and I know you went like a college route and all this. So like, why was the U.S. like your choice of your path?
Yeah, so it goes briefly back before that. I signed pro out of high school in England. And at that time, when I left high school, it was 16 years old. So I kind of went into the last couple of months of my school, at my high school, and I was going to be a pro. That I already agreed a deal to sign with my local team, which was Crawley Town.
And so was this a school, like an academy?
No, it was just
not
a regular
soccer school.
Just
so a regular high school. High school. Yeah. That's crazy that you weren't in an academy. You were that young coming out of a regular high school situation.
Yeah, so going back to my brother.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to like picture it. Like, are you at a soccer school?
Yeah.
Because I picture everybody there over there in soccer schools.
Right, so we don't necessarily have one like that. So going back to my brother and using him as an example, when you speak about different paths for everybody, he was in an academy at 6 years old. And he was in the academy from 6 all the way to 18, but never actually signed a professional contract.
Wow.
And I sort of did, again, we talk about the opposite. I only went to academy when I was about 13 or 14 years old. So all the way before that, I was playing for my local team, which is the team that my dad is the chairman of back home and stuff like that. So I played locally and really, in the nicest way possible, had no ambition of being a professional soccer player. It just was something that I just loved doing.
Okay.
Now, my brother was so disciplined. He was in bed at a certain time. He was drinking water, pastas, and stuff like that.
Doing
and I
things.
Was the opposite, like completely. Like, McDonald's is my go-to and still is my go-to. Had it on
Seriously?
The way here.
Yeah. No way.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Okay, that's funny.
Yeah. Don't join that. Don't do that, kids.
not the template.
Yeah. No. So, but it just, so I didn't do it until 13, 14. And then at 15 years old, I had a tough conversation with my academy, and they, along the way, basically just said that we don't see you making the group. And when I kind of got that, I wouldn't say necessarily disheartening, because it was never something that I really wanted to do. When I kind of got that news, it was like, can I really do this?
Yeah.
Like, can I really like make this like my life? And, and I love football. I still, you know, I loved it even though I was a kid, but it never really hit me to that I could do that. And then I signed pro at the back end of 15, going on 16. I had 2 years with my local team, which was Crawley Town. Bunch of teams were interested in me, talking about transfers, fees, and stuff like that. And then it really, I got to a point where I had an agent, and that kind of really distracted the journey that I really wanted to go on. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a good choice for me, and the agent at the time wasn't a good fit for me either. So I got to 18. I was presented another contract from the team I was on. There was a lot of issues certainly in the contract, and I eventually turned around and said, no, I don't want to do this. Yeah. I stayed for about 6 more months, and then I saw the success of my brother and the lifestyle that my brother had here, and I was like, I want to be in America. Like, I wanted a fresh start from England. You know, the 3 or 4 years were kind of up and down. I was really good moments, really bad moments, and I thought, you know, a fresh start was what I needed.
Right.
And then that led me to trying to go to the same college as my brother, which was Midwestern State, which is just up the road here, Wichita Falls. Grades, because I knew I was going to be a pro, wasn't very good. So I had to go to junior college, and I went to
That's
one
crazy,
of the-
crazy, right? Yeah. How like what your eye is on at that moment and what you aren't, like it can
what it falls back on for sure.
Yeah.
So then I went to Richland Junior College.
Stay on your grades,
yes,
kids.
Yes, do good in school,
no
kids.
No McDonald's or no fast food. Stay on your grades.
Yes. So then, and I went to Richland Junior College and honestly loved my 2 years there. Tried to transfer back to Midwestern, got into the school, and NCAA ruled me ineligible because of my 2 years at junior college and then my 3 years pro back home.
They used those.
Yes, they used those. You're only allowed 4, obviously. Yeah. So they took the 2 from junior college and the 3, and they were said, well, unlucky, son, you're done. Which then led me into even more incredible story, which is even how I ended up here in the first place, was because I was done. I was like, okay, so
now?
I'm now 21, 22. I'm going to go home, going to try like rekindle the career back home.
That was 22, realistically, if you're
older,
trying to get like on an MLS team for the first time within that club system even, different if they know you already and you've like played up the ranks, but like as a newcomer into like an MLS team,
and I was going to take an international spot too because I wasn't I didn't have papers to be here, so I was on a student visa,
and those are hard to,
and I trained with FC Dallas. I was there for a couple of months under Oscar Pereja and Jose Ma. So I've been alongside Reggie, been alongside Paxton and stuff like that, and it got to a point where that really wasn't the direction I could go because of visa purposes and stuff like that. So I had a family friend call and say, have you ever heard of the Psychics? They're coming back. And I was like,
yeah,
couldn't tell you.
Right.
He said, what about tattoo? And I was like, nope. And he said, type in tattoo on YouTube and let me know what you think. And I saw like the overhead goal that he scored.
Yeah,
I was like, yes, how do I get there? How do I do this? And then I haven't looked back since. So kind of crazy how it works out.
It is.
Yeah.
It is kind of crazy. I love it. And hopefully you stay in this market then. And now that you're planted here.
Yes. No. Yeah. So recently, last year, become a US citizen. So, you know, visas and paperwork is not a problem anymore.
Yeah.
I got a beautiful wife, 4 kids. So, yeah, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. Yeah. And I don't ever see myself leaving Dallas either. So I love it here. Obviously with FC Dallas and now how my life is kind of shaped here, it's pretty incredible.
That's great.
Yeah.
Careful. No, this is just stupid and random.
Yeah.
And it might not make the actual episode, but did you ever play on Azuri?
Yes.
Do you know what Azuri is? Okay,
yes.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. I think my husband played with you.
Okay.
Or, no, not with you, against you. When we're here,
yeah,
depending on how long ago it is, most of the roster he knows, right?
Yeah,
from
yeah.
probably playing.
What's his name?
So his name's Ryan Walker. You don't like know him. He just knows he's probably played against you.
Yeah.
Because like I said, he'll look down and he'll be like, oh, I know them. I played against them. And,
yeah.
And so much so that he like knows the nuances of what they're going to do and how they move on the field.
Love it.
He grew up in Plano.
Yeah.
Playing soccer and played in Plano through high school, and that was his only focus. I met him playing soccer out in college in West Texas. And
he didn't go to West Texas A&M, did he?
No, we went to Tech. Love it.
I was going to say, us in West Texas,
No, he played for the Texas Tech men's club team.
Nice.
Which was a good team, and it's funny because like a lot of those teammates are our friends here now,
so
we're like I said, we're a soccer family.
Yeah.
And so I was writing down my questions, and he was like, I think I played against him.
Yeah.
Did he play for Azuri? I was like, I don't know, I'll ask.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, Azuri. Yeah, I played, so when I played outdoor, it was Legends to start off with. They had a good group of players there.
Yeah.
We went to amateur cups and stuff like that. And then as it sort of come 28, 29, I found a spot with, Greg Martin over at Azuri, and those guys are good players. So.
I think I'm going to say this wrong. I don't know if he grew up with or played with or whatever, but I know he's friends with Matt Grubb.
Nice.
Yeah,
my
which
boss.
Is in your coaching world,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And then another friend, high school soccer with Ryan, but when I said, I was talking, he's an FC Dallas coach also, but when I was talking to him that I was coming here, he said, you got to talk to you. Tony Graham
is one of our
friends / he coached my son for a little while too.
Yeah.
And so,
I know Tony. Yeah.
He's good soccer people too.
Two boys, I think they might be with Texans at the moment, but they're good lad. I got a lot of time for Tony for sure.
We were playing with him at FC Dallas until they like kind of made the switch over.
Yeah.
Yeah, moved on. So he's I know.
Yeah.
Believe me, I know.
No.
So then one last thing, like Dallas Cup is about to start.
Yeah.
Do you go to that? Do you experience
that
tournament?
Yeah, so R06s are in it. R07s are in it, R08s, R09s are in it. The 09 group I had for 4 years before handing off to Matt, so I'm still really close with some of those families. A couple of the families are here this evening to watch tonight's game. Still stay very close friends with them. I'll kind of be around it at the same time as...
Sounds like a lot around it.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
We have a really good thing as far as our staff goes at FC Dallas. So it's me, myself, Gareth Evans, who played here for Oklahoma Energy, Matt Grubb, Chris Ring, Daniel Bassett, Fraser McKinnon. We're at the fields all day.
Yeah.
So if I have an 8 o'clock game and Matt has a 3 o'clock game, we're there at 7 and we don't leave the fields till 5 o'clock because we believe in, and I'm sure every club does it to a certain extent, but if he sees something that I don't see in my teams, then we revisit it sort of quickly and he steps in and has an option to speak. And how we do our program at FC Dallas is each 2 years you have a new coach.
Mm.
So I do the beginner, elementary, call it.
Yep.
Then they go to Gareth or Matt, and then they switch out either on the other side. So we're trying to build relationships all the time
with
kids.
I love the training, the combined training and coaching. And we are at a different club, but it's same way. My son, after we left Tony's team, we're a Sting.
Okay,
team.
That's not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not bad.
Matt Vesey's our coach, which we love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's really all. I just wanted to get to know you a little better and talk about the Psychics and your journey and all that good stuff. And like I said, we'll be out there cheering for you tonight.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Hustle & Pro. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and Instagram so that you can get notifications on our next episode. We'll see you next time.